Were you sick, Dan? Did I sit? You said better than last week.
Last week was chaotic.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the evening and the blessings that you've given to us, and we're thankful that when we understand that we have all spiritual blessings in the heaven.
Oh, yes, my Lord.
And we can't speak well enough because they're so much greater, and you're so generous, and we appreciate it. And may you bless the time together in the Word. May it be a time of special encouragement. Again, we're thankful for it. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
You got the four go off. Look how many people you got in the first week after the four. I think everybody's here.
We made it.
We made it.
I didn't think I was going to make it.
Wow.
No.
I didn't make enough copies. It's 5 pages.
Of what? Now what are we getting?
But these are our transparencies that relate to spiritual gifts. And so I mean, they were used with, they were literally transparencies. They weren't PowerPoint. And so what it does, I'll explain it when I get there. But
Barbara said when she was trying to follow along, when they can't see the...
We knew that.
Yeah. I thought you did, and I told her that.
Yeah.
She said, well, it was really hard to follow him.
It would have been, somebody thought about trying to split screen. But then I find out, Grant said, you didn't tell the passages all the time. And I said, Grant, I was in a hurry.
You can't see him anyway.
Well, see, he was following along in his Bible, and he just, and so, and I'd read it after I read the text. So,
there
should be five pages, and what you're getting, and what I mean, you're getting, everything's a bonus in this one. And what you're getting are overhead transparencies related to the role of the persons of the Godhead in spiritual gifts. So in the middle of that, you have God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and God the Father. And you can see it's a big, big print. I'm wiping out Mark's toner with that dark on it. And so you have three of those. With that, I stuck a page on the Trinity and their relationship to one another and how it relates to spiritual gifting. So when you get there, they're on their way back. Take five.
Hot.
Oh, I see.
And so it starts out, differences of spiritual gifts, differences of ministries, differences of operations or energies. And that comes out of 1 Corinthians. And so it's just, like I say, it's bonus. So
they're hot.
I want to say one thing quickly about the timeliness of the forum. Someone asked on a blog that I administrate, someone asked just before the forum started,
how can you tell if you're spirit-filled or if you're spiritual?
What?
I said, how can you tell if you're spiritual?
I said, I'm in a hurry, but I'll get back to you. He texted me Saturday night and said, Dan, you didn't forget me. And I said, no, matter of fact, I didn't. I need a paper you might be interested in. This came from a forum by a gentleman I've known for years and have high regard for. I sent him a paper that we got at the forum.
Did you get a
set?
Do you need a set?
No.
Well,
I'm good.
You need another set of
sales book.
They should be the same order.
I always get more.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yeah. I'm in the order. They're just.
Yeah.
Mine isn't on yet.
Start with the Trinity, and then yeah, got five pages.
They have differences.
Do we have a stapler?
No, it's
not. I don't have one.
Do you need one?
Yeah. Okay, we all sit there since we've been recording all of this?
Oh, you have.
Since I'm one short.
So it should get there.
There's a Trinity page missing. Somehow we got out of order.
Anybody have an extra one that says the Trinity on top?
One Trinity.
You need
somebody in this front table.
Yeah, count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you have 6, you've got too many.
Nope, I don't.
I don't either.
I got 5.
Right
here, Mark.
Richard did it.
Right. Richard, Richard, malefactor. Are you coveting that?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, we're moving into that. We're moving in. We started it last week, and I'm trying to move along. And so what I'm doing is, when I see things that I thought would be beneficial to you, and I mentioned it, I think, last week in passing, that each person of the Godhead has a role in the provision of your spiritual gift.
What are we going to call this? I mean, your shift here, what are we calling it? Not Christology.
No, we're on the will of God still.
The will of God still. Okay.
Yeah, this is on the will of God chart. It's I've got so many of these will of God charts. It's number 3 in the bottom of, I think, the page I handed out, but it's still number 3, whichever page it's on. And we just talked about spiritual gifts. When we talk about spiritual gifts, if you want more information about spiritual gifts, it'll cost you $25. No, we'll make it 22.
Now, how did you come up with that?
And why did I say that? Because there is a section in the priesthood book that has on spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
There are 20 pages of charts and appendix in this priesthood book that goes gift by gift, and it talks about what the gift does, the indications of the gift, and the radar that is inherent in that gift. Radar is the sensitivity of the gift, so to certain things, how the gift works. So there is a list of material there, and it's, you know, I've accumulated, I mean, I've done that many times, or quite a few times, and going through that. There's one, it's an interesting thing with the gifts, and that is, I've had some people that said, "Oh, you're not right." Oh. I said, "Give me a verse."
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because, yeah, I know some of these gifts are only in one, are listed one time, but, the way that I've studied it, I didn't build my study and experience. I went to the Greek in the classical Greek. I went to Greek later in order to understand it a little bit better. I went through the roots. I mean, I did a lot of work on it. And I remember somebody said, "Mike, I have that gift. And that's not what I do." And I wanted, and I, well, I essentially said, "Did you determine what your gift was and then find out what the word meant? Or made the word mean that?" I say, this is not built on experience on that. He got his degree in klutziness.
Master's or bachelor's?
Anyway, I couldn't resist it. What a setup. He may have done that deliberately.
Just for you.
Yeah.
Again, that's recorded.
Yeah, that is. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. If I can get there. In fact, 13. What am I doing here?
28.
I'm not looking in the right place. So let me get my 1 Corinthians 12, 18. Okay, I was looking in the wrong verse. I can't get the other out of my mind for some of the other things. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. Now, if you happen to be looking at the text, you're going to see that the word that is translated pleased is the word fellow, as he desired.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the word pleased at all.
Yeah.
As he desired it. It was his desirous will, and he gave you your spot in the body by his desirous will. And that's why I gave you this little handful of things. Spiritual gifts are simple in some ways, but they are not simple in their provision and the way God provided them. I mean, if you want to argue about your spiritual gift when you know it and you want to trade it in for another model, you have to argue with three persons of the Godhead. So, have at it. Just keep away from me. When that lightning zaps you, I don't want to be near.
So you're undoubtedly going to deal with it. I mean, there are other texts that give the literal distribution of the gift to the Spirit himself.
Yeah, and that's what this is about. I mean, that's what these are about.
All right.
Because, I mean, these five things you have in hand. So you have, were designed for a presentation. I don't have time to go through them, so I just wanted to give you copies. And you have, where's the Holy Spirit? There he is. And you have the list of his role and a summary on the bottom. And the same is true of the Son and the Father.
So the setting forth here, the tithemi, is not the giving of the specific gift to the specific individual, but more the placement of the individual?
Yeah, and see, I mean, the Father's desirous will is chosen for the kinds of gifts and the place in the body of Christ, guaranteeing a perfect relationship between the gifts to bring him glory. And so the gifts are designed by God the Father, so the gift, I mean, you want to find out what God the Father did in designing the gift. Who gave you your gift? Who chose you, the gift for you and put your name on it? Jesus Christ did.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually gave you the gift? The Holy Spirit did.
Wow. This is like matching the Christmas gift to the child.
Yeah. And so, these are the easy way to explain. I mean, you have some paperwork, and it helps put it together. And that's not my purpose. If I was get carried away on this, I'd probably done 6 months in this very area in the will of God material. And so that's why I just wanted you to have that so you can think about it. That spiritual gift you have is a mighty valuable piece of equipment. And if you want to give glory to God, that is the way it works best. Yes, in the norm you can give glory to God, but that gift is over and above the normal. And you'll notice in the priesthood book, I have the charts in the appendix, and what I have is a bar graph. And you have the gift, and then what's normal. What's normal, and then the gift. Gift goes beyond. In other words, you can't say that you're not to give because you don't have the gift of giving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know some people, I know a pastor who had the gift of, I think he had the gift of pastor teacher. And what did he say? They had a work day and he never showed up for a work day. Because he didn't have, that wasn't his gift. No, what a great way to unite the church. And so, I mean, he wouldn't show up, and he wasn't reluctant to tell them that he didn't have the gift, so he wouldn't be there. He essentially said, you guys do it. And there were people that had other gifts, and they were doing the work, and that created resentment on some people's part that knew a little bit about the norm. Did he show up to socials? I'm sure he did. Food, there we go.
I have a question for you. Where it says that he set each one of them in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Is he talking about he is putting you in the location where he wants you to be operating this gift by doing that? We're already in the body. We're already in the body. We already know that.
Yeah.
But this seems to imply that he has a specific place for you to exercise your gift.
Right. And so, I mean, it's in the body in general. He's not talking about Valley Baptist Church or anything like that. What he's talking about is in the body of Christ, you're a hand or a foot or a mouth or whatever. So he's picking that location. And I would love to be in a church where I had every gift.
So setting in the body relative to body
of the
function.
Body parts. Mm-hmm. Body functions in the body.
Location like a specific church then.
No.
That's how I was wondering.
Yeah, this happens when you get saved, you have your location in the body. I mean in the universal church. So you're a body part, let's do it that way. That's why he uses that idiom.
So this requires you to retain the body metaphor. This is only instructive if you retain the body metaphor in verse 18. I mean, it's most instructive.
And it seems like he starts out in 13. Well, he didn't start out 13 before that. And so whatever your gift is going to make a contribution.
And the idea then is every in the members of the body. And the ones that have specific gifts would all be of same, they would be alike, in other words.
If you had the same specific gifts.
About the cells of a body, for instance, there are cells that are muscles.
Mm-hmm.
This would be those that have that particular gift would all be the same.
Yeah, I mean, what he does members of the body. I mean, body parts.
I mean, just using the idea.
Yeah, and so there's going to be a commonality between someone who has a gift of ministry and someone else who has a gift of ministry. And it's not necessarily an identity because you have a different personality.
Mm-hmm.
In that. And so that gift works. And that's why it's so interesting when God provides a gift in a local assembly, how the gifts work. And I catch the point of seeing personalities that work together. And, I mean, an extra dimension there.
And the idea is it's just one gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this idea of interpreting tongues and speaking tongues, they're two different gifts, and nobody has the same, either, both of them. They just one.
Yeah, one had the gift of interpretation.
Gifts are concerned there.
Right, yeah, one had the other. And you say, well, that doesn't seem fair. The one who gets all the glory is the one who speaks in tongues and the one who interprets. Yeah, he's just hanging around. You know, but that, I mean, God does this, and the body is a unity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a oneness in the body. And so when we're functioning as we ought as spiritual believers using our gift, now that's the best way to do it. You don't lose your gift when you're carnal. The gift still works when you're carnal. You know, I mean, you know people that have gifts and they function with their gift. It's kind of interesting. I know pastors who have been carnal so long that nobody knows the difference. I mean, they still preach and that sort of thing, and people are edified because when they use the Word of God. It's the Word that does it. Their gift is working, but there's no benefit to them at all. They may feel good about themselves and pop a button or two, but that's where it's at. So if he desired you to have the gift you have where you are in the body, and again, we talked about it last time, there's no hand foots. You know, there's no two gifts, is what I'm saying. I mean, everybody has one gift. Let's see, there's a verse somewhere in the New Testament that says that. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. In 4:10, there each one has a gift, and that a gift means it has something that's a quality of gift. If it said the gift, you'd all be pastor teachers. No, I might be like you are then, whatever your gift is. You see, we'd all have the same gift. And that's the whole reason he uses this body metaphor. So we can understand there are different functions. And they're distinct from one another. And one of the arguments against having a single gift is you cannot build your doctrine on a metaphor. But you have to ask the question, why does God use a metaphor to teach a truth? And the reason he uses that metaphor is that each gift is different and singular. There's no bridging on it. And so, I don't know, these people I think are crazy when they want more than one gift. And I think I've told you this somewhere in here. One of the more memorable, what I want to call it, gross doctrinal errors that we heard in seminary chapel was when a pastor came to preach in chapel and he stood in front of the chapel and he said, "Fellows, I've got to tell you something. I finally have the last, I have all of the spiritual gifts now."
Wow.
That was a bad environment to say that, because I wasn't the only one that had the illustration. You know, I mean, everybody knew that, I mean, even if some may have wanted to have more than one, to have them all. And it was just kind of an interesting thing. Dr. Schaefer wasn't the only one that turned green. There were a bunch of others of us that did, too. It was funny. It happened to be during the semester where we were doing pneumatology was where we studied it. And it was just like, I don't know whether the class after the class before, a whole bunch of guys were studying this, and the guy stands up and gives you the beautiful negative illustration of what it isn't. You know. Okay. Now, here's the thing. If God desired you to have a gift you have, why not use it? Did he give it to you to put on your trophy shelf? No, he didn't. The spiritual gift he gave you is something that is for your use. And so there is an advantage of knowing what it is, because things become sensible in the way you function in the body of Christ. But I don't know what my gift is. You know what's kind of funny? Whether you know what it is or not, you're using it. You're going to be using it. And sometimes you can't see. I mean, I'm not knocking anybody. How long it takes to know what their spiritual gift is. First time I went through this in El Sobrante, I handed out a sheet, one of these half sheets. And what I had was four columns. I had a list of all the permanent gifts. One column was a set of boxes that said yes. Next column was said no. Third column said maybe.
Fourth column said one of each.
Yeah. And so what we did with that is we were going through spiritual gifts. I said, mark it. As soon as you hit a yes and you're sure, you've got it. If you haven't, when you know there's a no, mark it no. And there's nothing wrong with any answer here. Because as you check off some, you say, no, that's not my gift. Then you come across a couple. I always said, if you have two or three maybes, it's just fine. It gives you less to work on. And so you have that opportunity to think it through and narrow it down and find out what your gift is. And, there's a blessing in knowing, because you're relating to people with that gift. And I just smile over and over. I have people that, when they got it, they just love the fact they're able to use their gift.
Now, the gift is something you had, was given to you by the Holy Spirit after you were saved.
The moment you were saved.
The moment, yeah. So, it is not any kind of a natural ability or talent or something that you're good at that determines your spiritual gift, right?
Right.
So, the thing that determines your spiritual gift is something that brings you joy in doing it? or
well, it's something that the Father desired for you, and it can bring you joy
mm-hmm.
as you function in the body.
So when you're saying my spiritual gift is this, it would be something that you're passionate about or you're really interested in, and maybe others would verify that to you? Or?
Well, I don't know what I like the word passionate about. But what I think is you're in a position where you're in an absolute comfort zone of your behavior in the body of Christ. I mean, you're just comfortable. That's why you can use your gift and not even know you're using it.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a part of you?
Well, you got it as salvation.
Do you personally, let me ask you a question here. Do you personally have you had personal experience? Has it been your personal experience that you have helped a number of people to become comfortable or confident that they had a certain gift? I'm wondering if you knew what Martha's gift was. You have any idea, or did you ever wonder? I mean,
Martha being
his mom.
Because I don't know if she ever. She died at the age of 86. I don't know if she ever had confidence. What her gift was.
My immediate reaction, because of a lot of times we talked and what I saw, that she probably did have a teaching gift. I mean, she was a teacher.
Really?
But that was just because, I mean, I saw her in an environment.
Yeah.
And see, and in that case, now this should be a good for y'all. This shouldn't be just a personal kind of thing here. But when I saw his mom function, she taught fifth grade. And I saw how the kids responded to teaching, and I saw how they responded to didaskalia.
Oh my, well now.
And she
that
was
really interesting.
And I felt she was one that gave them a good foundation, and she had a normal appetite related to didache.
Wow.
And I mean, you shouldn't ask those questions like that, because I remember.
That's very instructive. Normal appetite for didache. What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, just in the norm. And she would, I mean, we would talk. And it was interesting. I mean, I ended up talking to others on staff about, you know, how the Christian life worked. And she was very receptive to, I mean, it was just honing something she knew. You know, I mean, she knew, Dan can tell you, she was a really in the Word. She pretty well had a handle on it.
I wondered, could you maybe just elaborate just a little bit, too? There are a lot of books out now on how to find your spiritual gift.
Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm.
My understanding is a lot of them are garbage. Okay. There's another one.
That's an understatement.
I know, but what I'm also saying is there are tests.
Oh, yeah.
There's these, it's mm-hmm. almost like these psychological type of tests mm-hmm. you know, to take. And once you take these tests, this is your gift, that's your gift. And in some cases, this is your first gift, your second gift, and your third gift.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, yeah,
in some
yeah.
cases. But
wow.
What I'm trying to get at today is I think I have met more Christians go that route of taking this test to find their spiritual gift rather than loving your brother or sister in the Lord in the context of a, hopefully a church setting or whatever, where you will start excelling, where you will notice it and others will notice it.
Right.
Ella, could you elaborate maybe just a little bit on these books and tests and stuff? Because I don't know about you, but I mean, I was confused for a while.
Well, and I started to collect them for a while. And I decided it was better for my digestive tract not to collect them. But anyway, there's really one good book on it. That's it.
And then you're looking at it.
You're looking at it. I mean, it's being in the Word. And, you know, it's that 12-12-4-4. And context.
Does the gift only minister to the spiritual side of the people you're sharing the gift? Or
if it's a physical activity like ministry or helps or, you know, it deals with physical things, but it enhances somebody's spiritual life.
It could be either or.
Yeah, but it's
primarily spiritual.
Yeah, I mean, the focus is, I mean, it's really interesting. It was intriguing to me watching some of the things in the forum. And what did I see? I saw gifts working. I just wish they wouldn't get mad at me when I stick my finger in to see what's going on. No, they don't get mad at me. But I'm interested. You know, there are certain things, and I'll tell you, those gifts lightened my load a huge amount as a pastor teacher.
What do you think of Ray Stedman's book on body life? It came out in the 70s.
In its day, it was a move in the right direction.
Yeah. Groundbreaking.
Yeah, it was. And if you see it, your body and life. I really think, when I read it and went to Scripture, I didn't agree with everything in it, but I thought it was a pretty solid book in its way because, you know, when I talk spiritual gifts, I'm kind of a rebel because having been raised in fundamental Baptist churches, they don't like you to talk about spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. Because all they can think of are the temporary gifts, and they're afraid of somebody speaking in tongues in church, and so they just shut them all out. And so it's really sad. I mean, I used to think in the pastorate. Wouldn't it be kind of interesting if we had a pastor's conference that related to spiritual gifts? And the only time that I saw among my brother pastors where there was an interest was when somebody that had been in the Pentecostal movement or charismatic movement came and spoke to them and had all of the stories, and they thought it was wonderful, but it didn't have anything to do with permanence. You know, and these people think they're permanent.
Well, it seems like pastors would want this. This is where their body works. It takes a lot of work off of their shoulders. They don't have to be at church 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And
they're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the case.
I'm a little intrigued with your comment about what you said, that your spiritual gifts put you in a comfort zone of operation. But that seems to blend oddly with the fact that it's a supernatural, divinely empowered gift, which should appear above and beyond any of your natural abilities.
Right.
And I believe, I don't know if I heard you or someone else say that they knew a man who had the gift of pastor-teacher, but he had a terrible stutter. But when he stepped into the pulpit to preach, that stuttering disappeared, and it was obviously a supernatural ability to speak and herald forth of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't sound like a comfort zone to me. Comfort zone sounds like where you naturally behave, where your natural talents and abilities lie. So how do you discern the difference between what people naturally excel at and what they're supernaturally empowered to excel at?
Well, I think, in that case, even after years of ministry, he still stuttered when he talked to people. It got better, but he still stuttered. But what was interesting was, you know, most stutterers, when they get into a circumstance, they have some good glands that perspire well. And that was something, he'd get in the pulpit, and the only thing that made him perspire was when he was getting a little emphatic. It was not from concern. He was comfortable in the pulpit.
Was that in Don Jennings?
Mm-hmm.
That was remarkable.
Yeah.
So what about something a little bit more subtle than that? Not one of the speaking gifts, but let's say ministry or helps or giving. that, how would you discern between just a natural ability or compassion or concern for others and a heightened, divinely enabled ability to perform at a level?
Well, let's just use giving. I think that works pretty good. To me, it's interesting how God doesn't give the one who has the gift of giving wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he does.
Say that again. God doesn't
give the one who has the gift of giving wealth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And someone with the gift of giving can give, and I'm not going to the Gospels, you know, the widows might think, but where someone sees a need and they give and they don't cry uncle. Whereas sometimes you have that situation and you see it and you give and you cry uncle. You know what I'm saying? It hurts a little.
Oh, okay. That's what I
was when you give and you say, you know, I mean, this is going to mean we're going to go with beans for a week. Or something like that, because I'm giving, I'm led to do it. I don't have the gift. And it's kind of interesting, I think as we mature, it's kind of interesting how God will permit us to work in some of these areas in the norm, and it doesn't hurt. I remember back a year or so ago, I had an opportunity to help someone out, and I just wrote the check and took care of a need that someone had. It wasn't in our assembly, it was someone else, and it was kind of interesting for me. You know, sometimes I'm so tight if I blink my eyes my two toes curl. And it didn't even faze me. Didn't miss it at all. I was just a spiritual believer acting spiritually. And I know I don't have the gift of giving in the matter. And so, I mean, there's a comfort zone in that. And I have seen that happen real often with people who will give. And they give where most of it would hurt. Most of the times, like I say, it means beans instead of any better protein. Red meat protein, you know, but they do that, and it doesn't, and it goes with other gifts the same way, and they're comfortable with that, and it's, you know, they're not sitting there trying to chalk it up so God will give more blessings, you know, and the same thing with showing mercy and that sort of thing. It's been interesting to me. I mean, I know some that they don't have. What do you want to say? Nursing skills. And, you know, some people are just totally repelled by nursing skills. You know what I mean? I mean, there are certain duties that are not... I spelled it right when I said that. But anyway, Bruce got a certificate with duty on it. Written on it. No, I'm digging the hole. Anyway, after the forum, it was kind of fun yesterday.
We did get to hear that. That's when the voice, the sound was working. We didn't do that.
No. But anyway.
That was very appropriate.
One more thing, though, too, related to the gift that we're talking about. Many Christians don't know what gift they have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what I tell them is not to worry if you don't know what your gift is. If you find out, by all means, start, you know, think about it and start emphasizing it, start, you know, using it in different ways. But not to worry about it. The issue is if you love the brethren and you're active in that area, it will come out somewhere down the road.
Yeah, you'll come to understand that that's what you've been doing right along.
But I know some people get so frustrated and so tired, I just don't know it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. No, I
serve.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Love one another. Be spiritual. You can't love one another without being spiritual. And you'll get it.
Dick Tice, a missionary that Richard would know, who was said that they detected on their field that there was a notable incidence of carnality with, use different terms, but with Christians who obsessed to know what their spiritual gifts were, and they became, seemed to become vulnerable to certain excesses of carnality because of obsessing about what their spiritual gifts were.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what you don't want to do, is obsess over. I mean, I can tell story after story about spiritual gifts. And issues of, you know, whether somebody, I mean, it's funny, when you know you have a spiritual gift and you don't want it, that's another problem.
Well, you know, one thing too, I think history here helps out. Before about 1968 or whenever, when this thing about spiritual gifts started coming out, where was it in the church? I never heard about it. Of course, I wasn't born back in 1800, thank goodness. But, I mean, for 100 years, that was a preached.
See, that's the problem. History is a problem. Yeah. Oh, Charles Finney did wonders for the teaching of spiritual gifts because he had these ecstatic experiences that he called spiritual gifts. And I think one of his ecstatic experiences was not belief in the gospel, but that's my prejudice. I don't think the guy was saved. You read his salvation story.
Charles Finney?
Charles Finney. He was a renowned evangelist in those days. I mean, he'd walk into town and people would start rolling on the ground.
He's very reformed.
Well, he was more Arminian.
But like Moody, though, I mean, you know, his ministry.
Yeah.
These people, this wasn't really, as far as I understand.
He had some, but not much.
Yeah. But yeah, the Holy Spirit was still working, though.
Yeah.
They weren't obsessing about it.
Right. And that's what we want to avoid, but we don't want to ignore it. Because, I mean, what I see is when somebody understands it and is using their gift, and you know that God desired it and you should be using it, when you know what it is, you get the blessing of using it. Whereas if you don't know what it is, yeah, it still works and everybody else gets the blessing, but sometimes you don't have the blessing of saying, wow, God is using me in my gift. And that, I'm not talking feeling, I'm talking about rationale. When you know that God is permitting you to use your gift, you know, it can be one-on-one, and there's only one spiritual gift that has anything outside the body, and that's the gift of evangelism. And I believe the gift of evangelism has a place in the local church. And when I say that, I think an evangelist, one of the parts of the appetite of the evangelist is to make sure the gospel is accurately and clearly presented.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see somebody says they're an evangelist and they don't know what the gospel is, I am not sure they're an evangelist. And when an evangelist comes in and says, this is what God has done through me, maybe you'll learn from it. That's good. As long as they're spiritual. And I think that, and so, you know, don't panic if you don't know what your gift is. But just be spiritual. And like Richard said, love one another. That new commandment is going to permit that, and you're going to find it's easier to love one another in that realm, and you may take years to find out, wow, that's why I was so comfortable. I'm going to use that word again. I was so comfortable in doing what I was doing. And that's not normal to be comfortable in some areas for some people. And so panic not. Okay.
So that would be love one another of the same kind. That would be to the brethren.
That's right? To the brethren.
Nothing. And all the spiritual gifts outside of the evangelism would be with the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you say, well, my gift is help. I like to help the unbeliever. These are gifts for the body of Christ.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you can help an unbeliever, but you better be spiritual, spirit-led.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you go and help a non-believer, they're not going to reciprocate.
Well, I mean, you got the verse too, you know, do good on others, especially the household.
Especially.
So that emphasis is on believers.
Right.
Doesn't say non-believers, but...
Right. And the word especially is, I love that sound of this word, that's the reason it's melista. Kind of a fun little word.
Melista.
Mm-hmm.
Which means especially.
Especially.
Good job, Daniel. Good job.
Okay. So
maybe there might be a deeper.
But you can see the value of knowing what it is. But again, let God, the Spirit, let you know. But if you're not spiritual, He's not going to let you know. You might be using it, but you won't know it.
Mm-hmm.
On it. And it's interesting. I mean, I'm going over to where I need to take another few minutes on the next point. But I look at people who have the gift of evangelism. The ones that I have known have had the most trouble grasping the spiritual life.
That is really interesting.
The ones with the gift of evangelism.
And, I mean, it's really, I mean, I could give you, I'll give you a list of names of people that I know that have had the gift of evangelism. Some, I wonder if they're still alive. Probably some of them aren't. And, I mean, these things were, one guy was a real estate agent at his office, and some guy came to his door and was looking for another business, had the wrong address. Walked in, they got talking, and the guy left a believer.
Hmm.
And that's the way that gift tended to work.
Hmm.
But that guy, I tell you, I tried my best to try to teach him a couple simple things about the spiritual life, and it was just about impossible to cut through his bootstraps.
So you better have a pastor teacher or teacher tagging along with him.
Well, it needs to be in a teaching environment.
Yeah, right. Or get the evangelist up to speed on. Everybody
needs to know. No, I had an evangelist in a Sunday school class for, I would guess, maybe even a couple of years. And we were teaching spiritual life material. This was before I went, I was a pastor. And went over and over and over, and he could ask the dumbest questions.
It just wasn't clicking.
No, I mean, he asked questions that were already answered more than once. I mean, that's frustrating when you teach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're teaching the word. Somebody just is not getting it. And you say, and you want to say, take the earwax out and listen.
You avoid getting
that. What you're saying kind of reaches what I have seen. The majority of the ones with the gift of evangelism that I know aren't interested in doctrinal studies.
Interesting.
They would, it's like, I don't want to waste my time going to this doctrinal study. I want to be on the street evangelizing. But they also then tend to lay the guilt on you, like, you should have the same desire I have to be evangelizing, and you're wasting your time here. And then the second problem that I have with a lot of them is that we will use any method we can, but every method is okay as long as we're getting that person saved.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No,
that's true.
That's
observation
of what I've seen over and over.
And that's frustrating to a person that's a pastor teacher, and probably to a lot of other people, but it certainly was to me.
Is carnality factoring in there?
I could say the spiritual life is a problem. I mean, this guy that was in my Sunday school class, I would go over and over and over it because here's an opportunity for somebody with a gift of evangelism to know what it is to be led by the Spirit to somebody. And he didn't know the difference between, you know, seeing somebody at a bus stop and the leading of the Spirit.
Did he say he was an evangelist?
Oh, yes, he did.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that guy, I mean, he had stories that would make you want to go out and knock on doors.
Preacher, doesn't that kind of, in a way, it's a little bit bittersweet because you really, when the sun goes down and you reflect over what has happened in a given day, the Lord is getting His business done with the evangelist getting the gospel disseminated. He maybe could have gotten bigger bang for his buck, forgive the expression, but at least the Lord, God the Spirit, saw fit to get the gospel out, because here's one of the elect.
Yeah, and the thing that concerns me a lot is, and I mean, like the one I've been talking about a little bit, I could get him straightened out in 1 Corinthians 15, and I would go over it and over it. I knew I had to go over it and over it with him. I was just a Sunday school teacher, but I kept going over it and over and over it. And what did he do? He'd go out and run down Romans Road.
Whoa.
I mean, he'd keep going back. And you couldn't get him, and the Romans Road does not have the gospel clearly presented.
Yeah.
And he'd keep doing it, and I keep coming back to him and telling him, no, you can't do that, because people aren't going to be saved. And so a carnal evangelist has a dual harvest. Mm. He harvests tares mm-hmm. as well as the real thing.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have to
yeah.
if there's, like what you said, Richard, at whatever cost, if they're going to save them, that they feel like they're the responsible party, then it goes back to self again. It has nothing to do with the work of God doing it.
So we're not just talking about the gift of evangelism here.
No, it's an illustration.
So this has given us opportunity to grasp the danger broadly mm-hmm. when a gift is abused mm-hmm. or not.
That's right.
Is it going to work? If God the Spirit pleases, yeah, it is, but be careful of the abuse.
Right. And a lot of times that abuse will come because of pure unadulterated carnality. I mean, when you're living in your sin nature, pretty soon you think your gift is better than anybody else's. In fact, they think that your body part is better than the head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, don't bother with that doctrine, you know.
Well, that's so common.
Yeah.
You know, and you just would love to see them. I mean, I've seen it. I mean, some of these people with that gift, they are spiritually totally unstable. They're agitated all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know. I'm reminded that God is a God of peace. And so we miss it. But anyway, you find out what your gift is if you can. If you can't, keep doing what you're doing. And as God works, you will find out what it is. And when you find out what it is, and it's between you and the Spirit of God, and just because somebody tells you you have a gift, you better be careful on it. Or was it? I don't know if it was anybody in this room. But anyway, somebody had a pastor tell them they had a certain gift. And they didn't. Mm-hmm. Because the pastor wanted that gift.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know who it was now. Our red-headed seminarian. The pastor told Bob that he had the gift of evangelism. And you know, when he first came to evening school... Mm-hmm. And came walking in what seemed to be like off the street. But when Bob came, he was an evangelist. I'm sitting here watching him, listening to him. And when was it? A forum ago? Or before? Somebody said, why would you let him into seminary? He's an evangelist. I sat here and listened to him and watched him. He had an appetite and not an evangelist. And it was interesting. He was so motivated to confront people all the time. It's a wonder that he didn't come out with black eyes more often than he did. And you know, it was interesting. I said, I mean, we were talking about it. I said, your appetite is in the realm of other things. His strengths were in what he had learned about didache. And I saw the kind of questions he had. I pay attention to the questions you ask. And it helps me in my analysis things. And so when he asked these questions, and we finally ended up sitting down and talking, and I said, Bob, you know, we would not let you in seminary if I thought that you had the gift of evangelism. And I am convinced you don't. Then he had to think about it.
So
because he still had it, kind of had it by the tail.
Do you think he's pastor teacher yet?
I am working on that.
Okay.
His questions point that way somewhat in that matter. But you see, I'm using him as an example because a pastor told him, and in the end he said, oh, I think I understand. They needed to bring people in, so when I got saved, they needed somebody to go out and knock on doors and evangelize, so he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And because one person came to the Lord out of all of that time, he had affirmed that his gift was evangelism.
One person.
One person.
He's in sales, Alan Gilbert.
Yeah, but I mean, anyway, I don't think he minds my using him as an example, because the pastor, it was pure pragmatism. In other words, they thought it would work to get somebody out there, and they did not know. And so he ran with that for a long, long, long time, yet he had that appetite. And, you know, the fun part of it was there was a guy that took him aside and taught him. And things were happening there. I couldn't figure out where he came from. But some of the questions he asked were smarter than most. You know, I mean, where the kind indicated he'd have some background. And so when that happened, I had to double think it. And I mean, I was thinking, and like I say, I try to kind of keep it and read on everybody. I'm not most of your pastors, but some of you I am. But I mean, I want to be able to help in any way I can, and that's why we meet here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we started it this way to help everybody in that matter. And so, anyway, spiritual gifts, you've got one if you're saved. You don't have two or more. You have one gift, and you have that privilege. And whether you know what it is or not, you are using it. And when you're spiritual, it becomes more evident than when you're carnal. Mm-hmm. And when you're carnal, yeah, you probably are using it to some extent. But when you're spiritual, it starts to, you know, I mean, the handwriting is on the wall, and it's not many, many decalupharsin in that matter. And so, anyway, now we didn't get where I was planning to go. But we're going to move quickly. I mean, I know spiritual gifts. If I can do it in this short a period of time, I have accomplished a world record for me in that matter. But that other material will help. And just remember, Paul always calls himself an apostle by the desirous will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wrote a letter, you can say, I'm a whatever. Gift by the desirous will of God.
Oh, wait.
Don't you dare say you're an apostle, because you can't be.
Well, that's very instructive.
Yeah, and I've got the list on that chart for you. 1 Corinthians 1, 2 Corinthians 1, Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, 2 Timothy 1. And we will talk about give yourself to the Lord and to other believers. And that's 2 Corinthians 8, which is one of the two major chapters related to giving. Love those Macedonian saints. And you realize what they did. Okay, let's break. And then Don will come up and wax eloquent. He's going up and
I'm going to go check it.
Check what? What?
Two guesses.
Two guesses that he needs to check your car for?
He has this Monday night habit called check my oil.
Oh. I didn't realize that. I thought it was the transmission that he was.
No, I haven't. He knows that I wouldn't have had time to get near anywhere to change my transmission.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't have.